Bill Flores joins us this morning from D.C. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Scott. Great to be with the Infomaniacs again on News Talk 1620.
Well, I appreciate that. Let's get it out of the way, and we'll go on and talk to other stuff. Your thoughts on the State of the Union address last night?
Well, he started out by saying that we need to have smart government. And I got to thinking, what has been smart about what's happened the last 4 years? For instance, when the stimulus passed back in 2009, we were promised that right by now, in February of 2013, the unemployment would be 5.2%, and it's 7.9%. So why should we believe that his new programs to create a smart government are going to have any better outcomes than the last programs, which failed and cost us $800 billion in hard-earned taxpayer money?
The thing I know that the Republican Party looks at is we're not seeing spending cuts. Now, I guess I want to ask you, as a member of Congress, obviously there are things that happen that impact in a positive way our communities and your congressional district. Do we need to start standing up and saying we're going to make cuts that might be felt in congressional districts to show you that the government is providing things and they may go away? There's a bad side to budget cuts?
Yeah, it's okay to stand up and say that. I mean, you do get some pushback, but, it's going to happen. I don't know if you need to advertise it or not. I just think that the most important thing is to make sure that the cuts happen and then allow everyday American families to make the decisions they need to make to the right economic decisions to do what's best for their family. If they do that, I think our country is going to be better off rather than the government trying to pick where their taxpayer dollars should be invested. Instead of an $800 billion stimulus program, what if we just turned off income taxes for $800 billion worth and let, all of American families make decisions on how to invest that money? I think we'd have had a lot better outcome.
The doctor who spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast last week, I don't know if you've seen his comments or heard the comments on him.
It was outstanding.
I'm a real champion of health savings accounts. I think that's a great plan, but you have to say something for the chutzpah of standing there with the president literally 8 feet away and really going hammer and tongs at his health care plan.
Oh, I tell you, he did a great job, and I was encouraged to see people that are that brave to stand up, and I have to say I was afraid that he would be vilified, but I think that he is he's been widely complimented on his courage and also on his message.
Well, again, being a physician, he lives in that world. One of the things, obviously, that people would gravitate to from the State of the Union address last night was the president's call to raise the minimum wage to $9. And we had a little bit of a discussion last hour here locally about what the ramifications of raising the minimum wage are. Could you kind of go over that a little bit, some of the hidden costs that might be there that first we think, oh, hooray, we're going to have more money in our pocket, but that quite often is not the case.
Well, let me say it this way. Minimum wage equals lower employment. So if you raise a minimum wage, then you have fewer people working as a result. So let's put it in sort of Bryan College Station terms. Mm-hmm. There's a lady that owns a dry cleaning store on the corner. And she's got a certain amount of payroll that she can afford to pay her employees. If you raise her cost by raising the minimum wage, then she is going to have to cut people. And so you wind up with fewer people working. Now, the ones that are working are making more money, but are you better off as a society to have fewer people working? Because you've taken that group of people that gets laid off as a result, and you put them on public assistance. And so instead of becoming contributors to society, they become drags on societies. And so, that's again, minimum wage equals higher minimum wage equals higher unemployment. That's the wrong direction to go. We need, instead of focusing on what the wage rate is, why don't we focus on trying to get policies to get more people employed? Back to a macro level for a minute, this so-called recovery that we're in is the worst recovery since World War II, of every recovery. It's less than half of the recovery that we had under the policies of Ronald Reagan. So what would have been smart is for the president to get up and say, we need to go a different direction. We need to try to have broad-based tax reform that flattens and broadens the tax code. We need to have regulatory reform. We need to get spending in Washington under control and grow and have a real all-of-the-above American energy solution, not picking winners and losers through the federal government.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. this morning. One of the other things, obviously, I know you're in the midst of, you stepped out of a discussion this morning about sequesters is getting a day closer every day. I think more and more we hear what that's going to do to the Defense Department. Where are we now with this? Is this, in fact, going to take place, or are you going to pull back when it comes time to actually pull the trigger on these cuts?
Well, I hope we don't step back. The sequester is the tool that has been used, that is being used to reduce discretionary spending below $1 trillion for the first time since 2006. And we need to keep at these pre-Pelosi spending levels. Just in real terms, so everybody understands what's going on. If you look at nominal dollars, after the sequester, the Defense Department will be cut back to the spending level it was at in 2008. If you look at it in terms of real dollars or inflation-adjusted dollars, it cuts it back to something over what it was in 2007. So, yes, it does hurt. So what I think we need to do, rather than use the across-the-board cuts that the sequester does, is allow the Defense Department a way to reprogram the cuts the way they think is the most effective. For instance, there are 200,000 people at the Pentagon, civilians at the Pentagon, that are not part of our warfighting effort. And you could reduce that headcount and get to the savings that you need and not affect our readiness. One of the things that I was reminded by Sam Johnson this morning, who he was in the Hanoi Hilton for several years, just got released 40 years ago yesterday. He was saying that during World War II, the outer two rings of the Pentagon were not occupied.
Oh, man.
But yet today they're full. And so, our conflicts today are a lot different than they were back in World War II. So I think it just goes to show you that there is room to cut in the Pentagon, and we're not talking about drastic cuts. We need to hold firm on this so that we get to a discretionary spending level below $1 trillion annually.
Let's talk for a minute about Chuck Hagel, because he came, he's come out of committee. I guess 14-11 was the vote there. So now that's going to go to the full Senate. Your thoughts, is this the right man at the right time?
No, I'm just going to keep the answer simple. He is the wrong man. We don't need him. I hope the Senate will hold firm and force the president to nominate somebody else.
I guess the strongest applause line last night came as the president ramped up his feeling as far as gun control or legislation. Did the needle move at all after that?
Well, again, the president's focusing on weapons instead of focusing on violence. What causes somebody to pick up a weapon of any kind and hurt somebody else? That's what we need to be focused on, not the weapon. And so, again, I think he missed the mark there. I mean, it's politically popular to talk about guns and gun control, but we need to focus on the causes of the precursors for violence.
What's on the agenda this week for Congress?
This week we're going to have various bills. I'd say that none of them are really needle movers, but then coming up the week after next, is what are we going to do about the continued resolution to fund the government to September 30th? What are we going to do with the sequester? And then the House, the most important thing that's happening this week is the House Budget Committee is putting together a fiscal 2014 budget. And actually, I start on that effort at 10 o'clock this morning.